With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
What I'm excited about is there's a new docuseries coming out that's got a bunch of people you're loving it. Everybody from, you know, Henry Rollins is hosting this, but the docuseries that comes out on Epics has got everybody from Duff McKagan, who's more West Coast, and Iggy Pop, who's absolute legend. You forget how many great bands. Like, you look at Dave Grohl now, we think Foo Fighters. We think huge radio hits. But he came from the West Coast, up in Seattle, Nirvana, that entire grunge sound, which was, you know, post-punk. And it is amazing when you see that the true effect it really did have on music.
Born February 12th in Washington, D.C., the world first met him when, in 1981, he went from being a server at a Häagen-Dazs ice cream store to being lead vocalist for influential punk rock legends, Black Flag. He went on to a career that would find him releasing numerous albums under the Rollins Band banner, authoring numerous books, sell out halls across the United States as a spoken word artist, as well as acting in such films as The Chase and Heat, as well as on the long-running series Sons of Anarchy. And starting this Monday, you can see him as part of a new Epics docu-series, Punk. Please welcome the great Henry Rollins.
We're gonna have a TV party tonight. All right! We're gonna have a TV party, all right! Tonight!
Henry, how you been, man?
Oh, good, man. Good to talk to you again.
You too. Well, I'm really excited about this docuseries. It's finally come around that somebody's doing a really great look at punk rock and everything that it came from and everything it became.
It's the best one of these that I've ever seen. I mean, I get asked to be in a few of them. And I've started to say no thanks, because they're kind of like free kittens at church on Sunday. You know, they're just like, here's a box, have, take one.
Yeah.
But when it being Iggy and John Varvatos is the executive producers, two guys I've known for quite a long time, I trust them, you know, to get it right. And I've seen about 25% of like all four episodes. And what I saw was really, really good, and so I'm glad I'm involved.
Yeah, well, I think you hit it on the head. You talk about who's who. Duff McKagan came from that Seattle sound, but he ended up in Guns N' Roses. You know, you talk about Dave Grohl.
A lot of people don't know that he opened for Black Flag. I mean, that's the first time I encountered Duff, and so a lot of people don't know that because, you know, the guy spends a lot of time selling out stadiums these days.
Right.
But he came from small clubs that, you know, weren't the nicest environments, and he knows all that very well.
And being lucky enough to sit with him a while, he has that punk rock ethic, that get to work, but he's a smart guy, like a really genuinely smart guy, a very aware guy, not just some, you know, blown-out rock star. Like, and that was the thing.
No, he's very real.
Yeah.
I've known him since the 90s. As far as like sitting down and talking with him, and he's just a really honest person. I mean, he's very genuine, and it's good to see. I saw him the other night, and it's always great to run into him and his wife. They're just really cool.
Yeah, well, you know, but I think people say the same of you, Henry. You're just a genuine guy. Like you, hate you, agree with you, it doesn't matter. What you are is what you are, and you don't alter for anybody. And I think that's
too short.
Yeah. But it's same way with Iggy, same way with all of them, man. It was such an honest form of music, and it was angry, it was political, sometimes just childish. It didn't matter. It was all of that.
Yeah, and you know, the interviews are, I've seen quite a bit of this, and everyone was great, but the people who really knocked me out, like Joan Jett,
yeah,
she's just this pillar of truth. She's like Lemmy, you know, everything. Like, everything Lemmy said was like, yeah, that's the truth. And Joan is just so real. You can't even, you know, you wish you had a teaspoon of it. And so her interview, she was all through the parts I saw. And I was like, wow, this is great. And so I really like this. I think people are really going to dig this. Even if you already know all this stuff, it's really cool watching, like, Ian MacKay's great in it, Flea. Iggy's hilarious, and, you know, obviously knows what he's talking about. Wayne Kramer of the MC5, I mean, talk about a guy who was there. And so I think this will come off very well because they did get the right people, I think.
Well, and you know, we talked about the Outhouse before, which is now a strip club, but in the same building in a cornfield. But at the time as a kid, I didn't realize how rare that really was. A club run by kids, rented by a farmer, an old tractor building, and I saw some of the greatest. You know, look, Fugazi, that was a life changer.
You know, after seeing so many venues all over the world, I did understand what it was. Because the next night I'm in a different venue and different venue. And so it was the bands who could tell the audience maybe and be a bit more informed than even the audience who went there all the time, like how lucky they have it. Because we see, you know, what is usually, you know, where you perform. And the Outhouse was as rare a venue as I've ever been in. And I've done, you know, literally thousands and thousands of shows. And the Outhouse is definitely, like, in my top five venues because it was always like, really? This is like playing a house party. And it was just incredible. Like, I just wish every night on tour was that, like, you know, full of civility and fun and, you know, genuine enthusiasm.
See, and that is, I sometimes wonder if I color my memories in that, but that's the same feeling I have of everything. Every show I saw out there, Ian MacKay changed my life with Fugazi. You, on the Lifetime Tour, changed my life watching that. I mean, just the true destruction of pure rock and roll of it all in just a single light bulb and a Boeing stage and a bunch of punk rock kids.
You're right. Here's what, and I think I've boiled it down. Here's why those shows were so good. Because everyone there, you and everyone else who went into that building, understood very clearly what they had to lose. Like, if you light the corn on fire, you don't get to come back.
Right.
If you wreck something, we lose this. If you trash the place, we lose this. You know, and I think a lot of scenes, like, I come from Washington, D.C. Ian MacKay kind of helped invent that skyline for Minor Threat and the bands I was in, the Bad Brains. And he basically would tell everyone over and over again, it's in the song In My Eyes, he's saying, this is yours to lose. So go ahead, wreck the men's room. We'll never get back in this building again.
Yeah, no, it's
like,
true.
Like, fuck up the power. But he's saying, like, this is ours to screw up. So this is up to you, because now we're driving. And if you want to go off the road, great, because, you know, it's a bus. We're all going to go down. And I think the people who went to the Outhouse, I think they really got that. And I've been to a ton of venues where they didn't get that. And you'd come back, you know, 2 years later, and that place, they go, now we don't do those shows anymore because, you know, we got tired of repairing the place every Thursday night.
All right. I can't wait to see this docuseries. It's four-part.
Fantastic.
It's March 11th. The first one is on a Monday. It's on Epics. I know they got you on a tight schedule, but, Henry, you know you're always welcome here. I'm a huge fan. It's always great to hear your voice.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend coming up.
Take care, man. It really is impossible to explain. And Henry gets, like, sometimes I wonder, like, you know how you are. You'll cut color your memories and think,
yeah,
it was so great. It really was great, but we didn't know. I mean, and the guys running it did such a good job. And, you know, punk rock to people outside of it always seemed like just a bunch of dumb kids with mohawks. Mm-hmm. But they were smart kids. They were outsiders. I'm not saying me. I just enjoyed the scene, right?
Yeah.
So it was. It really was a time like that you'll never get back.
Cool of him to appreciate it, though, because almost everybody who goes through something awesome, usually you don't appreciate it in the middle of it. You don't know what you have until you get a few years removed from it.
What it was is, it was so far away from town that you didn't have to worry about the locals, you know, driving by to punch the weird kid with blue hair.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a lot of cops, to their credit, just stayed away because there was no issue. And you couldn't buy alcohol and you couldn't bring it in. Like, if you, I mean, they knew, like, you would lose it. And they knew how to book, like, you know, Henry Rollins was a big deal. White Zombie was a big deal. These are all shows that sold out. And it wasn't like there was an ATM. I mean, it was a cash business and you had to handle it like a real business.
Yeah.
And, it's such a random place in the middle of a cornfield. I wish everybody could have seen it and been there and felt that, you know. It was a fine place to take acid and watch Guar. But my buddy Dwayne, Dane, who lives in New York, in Brooklyn, we'd talk about it all the time. And he was always the guy I'd go to shows with. And it doesn't matter how far, and he's still an artist and still a musician, how far away the years are and how far away that moment was. You always look back and go, man, that was a pretty cool time. Like, you did, there weren't guys just randomly beating each other up. I mean, certainly fights happen, but they at least were rooted in something. I mean, I remember Ian MacKaye stopping the show. There were a bunch of goony skinhead dudes. Like, imagine the worst gym guys.
Yeah, just act it out.
You know the gym turds who throw their weights around? Yeah. Those guys. But he stopped and he goes, well, boys, when you're done with jungle gym time, we'll continue the show. And I remember, but he commanded such respect, like those guys weren't going to turn on him and say something. No, they were like, boom, because they let go of the eye beam and just stand there. Like he could shame them with a very calm voice. And you're like, ooh, because all the rest, we're scared to death of those guys. They're great, big, muscly goons, right? And it's just a crazy time. It's just a crazy, crazy time in music, man. I'm excited about that. Because, like I said, Guns N' Roses, you know, legendary. You know what the name of his band was? Farts with a Z. That was the name of Duff McKagan's band, The Farts with a Z. That's all it was. But Dead Kennedys, you know, and just stuff like that. But, you know, old political stuff like DK and 7 Seconds. And you couldn't buy most of these albums. You had to get them from a friend on a cassette. Or you'd get in the back of Maximum Rock and Roll magazine and you'd send away to England and somebody would mail you a cassette they made at their house and it took 3 months to get it. You forgot you even ordered the thing.
And you're like, oh my God, it's okay because I finally got it.
Yeah, and you had to send a money order to them first. Like, there was no way to do it.
You hoped you got something back.
Yeah, it was it was a lot of fun. And Henry was a guy who made it okay to me because I liked a lot of music. I liked Maiden and I liked AC/DC. And I remember reading an interview with him about, you know, and he was a lord in punk rock. I mean, always heralded as a legend. Black Flag on.
It was a king, yeah.
And he was like, I love Ted Nugent. And I was like, awesome. I'm not, I can, you know, you didn't have to be pure punk rock.
We can all be friends.
You know, you can like it all because you always felt weird about that, right?
I still feel some people don't get that yet, but there comes a point in your life where you're like, I'm a song by song person. Yeah. It's okay to like, I like all sorts of crap.
Of course.
And that's okay.
Yeah, of course. Man, it was a real, by the way, we're talking about the Outhouse. Now it's a strip club, which is awesome in its own way. Because there's some dirty out there. Yeah, I didn't think that place could get dirtier. It did. But there's a documentary out. You can find it. A guy locally produced it. It's pretty good. It really is. Look for it. Just the Outhouse documentary. And then don't forget on Epix, EPIX, Punk, debuting Monday, March 11th. Make sure you check it out, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.